Hey guys, what's up? How's it going, Clippers Nation, Clippers fans, Clippers dudes? It's your guys, William the Opinion Updike.
And Positive Chuck Mockler.
We got a heck of a show lined up for you today. It's Monday. That means our weekly segment, The Freshies, in case you're unfamiliar. We talk a little bit about who and what should be getting some more playing time. You got anything you want to tease for that?
Specifically rookies, but a little bit of concern on this one.
A little bit of concern. I got some wacky lineups to throw at you.
All right.
See what you think. So before we get into that, we've got a recap of the Clippers-Nets game. Kind of a sloppy win, but hey, a dub's a dub. And then we're going to wrap up with a little bit of a preview of tonight's action. Not a little bit of a preview. It's a full-on preview. It's whole length, baby. A whole-ass preview of tonight's matchup against the Atlanta Hawks. Hope that one goes well. Want to keep this streak going. All that coming up right about now.
So we did get the win in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Which was great. Clippers won 127-119.
Not a great game.
Not a great game.
I was happy that we at least piled on 10 points, given that we trailed most of the game, and I think by as much as 14 at some point.
Yeah, we were down by a lot. They went on a pretty big run in the second. Let's get some quick stats out of the way. Gallo led the way for the Clippers with 28, which is fantastic. Tobias with 27 and 10. This was the biggest Tobio cushion of the year.
Yeah, definitely.
Which is always good to see.
I think it's, has nothing to do with the recap at all, but I think that these guys are capable of this on a nightly basis.
I mean, yeah, they're pretty close right now.
Yeah.
They're both averaging 19 or something like that, hovering around 20 points.
But
so,
I think they're good for
like 24 a game?
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think, yeah, they could easily combine for 50 on any given night.
Trez had 16 and 10 to keep himself in the most improved player award conversation, which I'm not even sure is happening, but he should be in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
For the Nets, Jared Allen had 24 and 11, and D'Angelo Russell contributed 23 and 10 assists. Both those guys did a lot of damage against us.
Yeah, those were great numbers for D'Angelo Russell. I've always had kind of a soft spot for him.
Yeah, he got done kind of dirty by the Lakers.
Yeah, it's good to see him like still having a good performance and kind of coming back from that terrible injury last season.
Yeah,
bad. Knee stuff is always just really worrisome for point guards, especially someone like him who doesn't have a whole lot of explosiveness to begin with.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Sure.
Like a lot of his game isn't really predicated on any sort of
speed,
explosiveness.
For
it's more
sure.
Like kind of tempo changey. But that's neither here nor there. We did really good with the turnovers this game.
Yeah, that was like maybe our best game, I think.
Yeah, only 8 turnovers, which you love to see.
Yeah, anything below double digits with this team, and I'm super psyched.
Definitely.
This was like a classic trap game.
It was a classic trap game.
Or was going to be, I should say.
I worried a little bit about going into it, and I feel guilty because I feel like on Friday's preview, I was a little low energy. This seemed like what should have been just a win. You know what I mean? Like, I couldn't even come up with that much credible against the Nets. And honestly, even with Caris LeVert out, they're still a pretty solid team. I had forgotten about like how good Jared Allen is just because I don't watch a lot of Nets games, but they were a problematic matchup for us, I feel like, in terms of size at like traditional roles.
Yeah, very good point. I mean, like Jared Allen, pretty traditional center, doesn't really stretch the floor that much.
Yeah.
Absolutely crushed.
Yeah, really big though, and great. I mean, like great on the glass.
Yeah.
I think he had 11 rebounds, which was the most of any player in the game. Trez was close behind with 10. But yeah, great game from him. Also, D'Angelo Russell is a lot bigger than I thought he was. He's got to be like 6'5", 6'6".
Here's the point.
When he was up on Shea.
Much bigger.
I was like, yeah, he's a lot thicker.
Here's a question. This might be dumb. If you tap in a miss, if you're a big guy, does that count as an offensive rebound too?
Yes.
If you just get the quick tap on it?
I'm going to say yes.
I think so, right?
I'm going to say yes.
Yeah, that would make
sense. I mean, because it would be a possession. I mean, you could technically turn the ball over from that point. So, I don't know.
Interesting. The biggest run in this game was in the fourth. We were down 110-108 with like 5 minutes left. And then Trez hit 2 big dunks. Gallo hit a 3. That was part of a 9-point run that pretty much ended the game.
Yeah,
it
pretty much put the cap on it.
To 110. And from there, we kind of just... We closed it out, which is what this team can do, but seemingly only after battling through a really bad quarter.
Yeah.
It seems like it kind of takes like a really kind of garbagey quarter for us to get into kind of like, all right, let's play to our fullest potential mode, maybe.
Yeah, I think that this team, I mean, I've said it both ways. I think that sometimes they do get, they can tend to get a little bit emotional and squirrely. But other times, I feel like sometimes when they're backed into the corner, when it's really crunch time, is like kind of when they can grind it out. They ended up outscoring Brooklyn in the paint 56-48, which is just surprising given their size. And I think a lot of that came in the second half when we were really kind of grinding away to try and stay in this game or carve out some sort of lead.
Yeah, we did. And like you mentioned, the turnovers, we did win that battle 8-11, which is sweet. We did get rebounded 47-38.
Yeah, which is interesting because even with them out rebounding us by a solid, 25%, we were able to generate more second chance points than they were. So I think that we were just a little bit better about converting.
Yeah. The rebounding stat that shocked me is that they had 15 offensive boards.
Wow.
Which feels like such a rarity in today's game to see a team get even double digits. Like,
yeah, definitely.
I want to know who's drilling them on how to get offensive boards. Because if we could figure out how to get more offensive boards, that would kind of help our rebound weakness right now. Not that it's like a too glaring of a weakness, but it's definitely one of the worst parts of our game.
I think that's going to be one of those next stats to look at. Like, if you're trying to build an elite team, is how you can still play four or five out, but get even a quarter more rebounds than any other team you play on the offensive
end. Yeah, for sure.
On the offensive end.
Yeah, because it's usually points every single time.
Yeah, yeah.
There were a few bad things about this game. It was just kind of sloppy play overall. This, Shea had 5 fouls very quickly in this game. He had an offensive rating of 55 for this game.
Oof.
Yeah. Which, like, I knew he wasn't playing too hot, but I didn't realize he was playing 55 points. Like, that's bad.
He did not seem to have his legs beneath him on this one. I want to blame the flight was delayed.
Oh, yeah. There's always
the flight was delayed,
issues.
Which I don't even know how that happens when you're.
Winter storm, I believe.
A, the greatest team in Los Angeles.
True.
B, flying private.
Our planes are used to sun. They don't know how to fly.
They don't know how to fly.
They can't fly in the snow, dude.
They ran out of gas or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But he looked like there was a bunch of, we rewatched this game, bunch of threes he maybe should have taken that people.
How much longer are we going to have to keep repeating that?
Yeah, people are just going to be like, all right, man, I know you're probably not going to take this three.
It's getting to the point, I mean, I thought it was more apparent in this Nets game where defenders are so familiar with his hesitance to shoot, they don't even put an arm up when he's,
yeah,
like, when he's at
like
the three-point
okay.
line.
Like, it's,
yeah,
like when you guard the guy who's really old in the rec league, and you're like, well, I don't want to go too hard on this guy in the perimeter. So you're like, oh.
Yeah, definitely.
Just gently raising your hand.
Definitely. So, I mean, I just feel like a broken record because I feel like we're saying that every single week.
So Avery Bradley might play tonight against the Hawks. Do you think if Shea was on the second unit, which he might get moved back down, who knows? Do you think if he's on the second unit, he maybe gets told he can be a little more trigger happy?
I think that he's already been given the go-ahead to be trigger happy. I mean, we've just watched plays where he's set up to be open in the corner.
Yeah, and he passes it up.
And he passes on the shot, which I fully do not understand.
Yeah. Maybe it's a confidence thing?
Yeah, I actually think that he's less trigger happy in the second unit just because of Lou Williams. I think that he's an even more...
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Thankfully.
Yeah, I think that he's like an even more tentative scorer when he shares the floor with Lou.
Which is good, because we don't really need two guys jacking up a ton of shots in limited usage.
Totally. I think it's just still unfortunate if that's where if he ends up getting moved back down to that second unit and spending the majority of his time there, I do think that his scoring maybe won't take a step back, but it's definitely not going to improve when you're relying on someone else.
The good thing about the three-point situation in this game is the Nets shot 46% from deep, which is phenomenally good.
Really good.
But we matched it. We shot 47 percent. We took our average amount of threes, which is 23. And I'm
lowest in the, is that lowest in the league?
It's pretty close. It's in like the high 20s.
Okay.
So that's a thing where I'm kind of like, if we're getting these wins, I'm happy with it. But I think when we're going to play a team like the Warriors, we're going to have to jack up more threes.
Yeah.
At some point,
we
right?
talked a little bit about this yesterday, I guess, how hopefully we can just see as the season goes on, a lot of these long twos at the elbow just kind of
become three-pointers.
Becoming three-pointers.
Yeah.
I do think that'll be super crucial. But my thing is if the efficiency is going to go down if we take more shots.
What's the point?
It feels like a wash.
Yeah, like
you know
if it's going to be the same amount of points per or points, not even per shot, but just points per game from the 3-point range. Yeah, it's like, well, I guess if it works right now, it works.
Yeah.
Doc has shown that he can make some adjustments this year, which has been pretty tight. So it'll happen when it happens, I guess.
Totally.
For now, maybe we're just like asking for too much because we're 10-5 and we want to see this team be really, really good.
If our percentage and like efficiency was a little bit more mediocre, I'd say, why not just go for more 3-pointers?
Yeah, but right now it's like great.
Yeah, it's been.
I think we're third in the league in field goal in 3-point percentage.
Yeah, I mean, we're right around, like, as a team, the 40% mark. I think we're at, like, 38 or 39%, which is really
freaking
solid.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, which like, is really, really solid.
And when guys like Gallo and Tobias are putting up 27 and 28 with few amounts of three-pointers, it seems like maybe the league, some teams are backing off of the, like, we got to jack up threes mentality that was happening. And I was like, well, no, we know threes are valuable. Let's take a little more than usual, but maybe not the, like, you know, 50 a game or something like that.
I don't know. My thing is just with the way that the team is constructed, you know, we have a certain amount of shooters. But I think that I think that guys that get to the foul line, it's the same thing, like just as valuable. It's guaranteed points.
It's nice. Gallo hit this game and one that didn't count, but should have. Every game he's good for one of these, like he's falling and there's like a millimeter of space between his feet and the ground before the shot doesn't go up. And he just like flips the ball up from his hip and it just bounces around and goes in.
Yeah.
Those are such demoralizing layups. I feel like
totally.
Even if they don't go in, you're like, God damn it.
I guess we don't have a whole lot of time to touch on this, but just going off of the biggest Tobias cushion last night, do you think these guys have higher averages if we stagger them more, if they're not both sharing the floor, or do you think that inhibits their ability to score?
I think they have to share the floor.
Really?
I think Gallo's size helps out Tobias, and Tobias's a little more aggressiveness helps out, just kind of space that floor a little bit. I think their averages would maybe go up, but I don't know if the team results would be as good.
I agree with you.
Tentatively.
No, I do tentatively agree with you. I think that they are good as far as like keeping the being on the floor at the same time in terms of like keeping the defense honest.
Yeah.
And they can kind of like pull as well as like create space for other guys on the floor.
For sure.
I just think if you stagger them a little bit more, I just feel like they would each have the ability to score a little bit more.
Yeah, I think they would too individually, but again, I'm not sure how it would benefit the second unit as much, or like whichever squad they were in.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I agree with that.
I just like having the two threats on the floor at all times.
Yeah.
Which does seem to
work. I don't know, maybe running some goofy lineups where you have Tobias play the two, or have Tobias play the three, Scott at the four, and Harrell at the five.
Yeah.
And then another goofy lineup where maybe Harrell is at the four and Gallo's at the five.
Be doable.
Nah. I mean,
who knows?
Food for thought. Anyways, all in all, pretty good win.
Yeah, it's a win. We'll take it. We're at 10-5. Coming up after this break, we're going to be doing the Freshies, which is our weekly rookie segment. But first, guys, the Locked On Podcast Network is crushing it on Twitter and Instagram right now. If you follow any of the Locked On podcasts, like maybe the Locked On Clippers podcast, check out Locked On Net, and you will get all of the Locked On Podcast Network info from the NFL and the NBA on one feed. It's great during games. Locked On NBA also just added former first-round pick and 8-year NBA veteran Trevor Booker to join on the podcast network as an analyst.
Very, so incredible.
Super tight. So check them out. That's coming up. Right after this, we got the Freshies. So we touched on this a tiny bit just now in the last game recap against the Nets. My Freshie situation is Shea in a bit of a rookie slump? His points have been like, he hasn't played awful. I'm not trying to say that.
Yeah.
But he's looked a little tentative, and it seems like he's looked more and more tentative in the last couple games as they go on, shooting-wise.
I agree with this.
You know, like it just doesn't feel, he's still playing good and like he's not costing us games. He's not making truly boneheaded plays.
Yeah.
But his turnovers are a little wonky and there's just some, like his outside shot, it's just kind of like, we know you can shoot.
Yeah.
The release is a little slow, but like, come on.
Yeah. I don't know. He's had a couple games though, like where he did dominate in the mid range. Mm-hmm. He has really shown out a couple of times. So what are you saying in terms of this? Are you saying, is this an anti-Freshie? Is this, you would like to see less Shea?
No, I'd like to see more Shea. I just think he's maybe coming down to earth a little bit.
I think at some point fatigue has also got to be setting in, because we're more than halfway through the longest season he's ever played.
Yeah. Well, we're not halfway through the longest season ever played.
I mean, I like,
oh, that he's ever played.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, man, I wish the NBA season was.
No, his college season is what, like 30 games?
Yeah, let's call it that.
I mean, we're well past that.
Yeah, absolutely. And there were concerns about his fitness coming into the year. That was kind of a thing that was brought up a couple times at Media Day, of his conditioning.
I mean, he looks in great shape. I just think that it's still going to be, it's going to be an adjustment for any rookie player. Every player that you're playing is bigger, faster, and stronger than anyone you played in college.
Yeah, and I think part of this maybe goes into not so much him. I do think he's been a little more timid on the outside, but also defense is, like you said, just kind of learning, all right, he's going to dribble to the elbow, he's going to draw contact, and way more often than not, he's going to hit his elbow jumper.
Yeah.
But when you kind of just live at that point in between the three-point line and the elbow, you're kind of limited.
Yeah.
It seems like, especially when you're a skinny guy who guys are like, well, I can just body you up if you really go inside. His finishing is phenomenal. But
yeah.
Against better defensive teams, it seems a little
His finishing
shady.
Has been phenomenal. I think, and I'm not sure if this is just a flaw in the current roster, but I guess I'd like to see him a little bit more active off ball. Like, you know, we've talked about those plays where he kind of just camps out in the corner, and like if the ball comes to him for the open three, he'll sometimes hesitate, which is not great. And if he's uncomfortable shooting the three, I guess I'd like to see him utilize like a little bit more, just with more motion, I guess, off ball and trying to get into some sort of cutting lane or something.
Yeah, I for sure can see that. He's so skinny, he can kind of, I feel like he could get down there, and he does play off contact well, that once he just hits a couple open threes, I think people will just have to respect his shot a little more.
I know, that's the thing. I mean,
or even just take them.
Yeah, I think that's the big thing is just taking them, just getting comfortable with that. And yeah, I don't know. I don't want to say that he's had a regression, because I don't think that that's fair to say yet.
Yeah.
I do still think that he's improving, but like the last couple of games, I guess, have been less impressive showings than we've seen from him in the past.
Yeah. I think it might be one of those things where, I can't remember what it's called, but there's like a phenomenon of like when you just get, you know, when you first get into a new setting or a new activity or something like that, and you don't fully understand how intense or difficult it is, you can sometimes be better than once you figure out the true nuances and how hard it is.
Totally.
So in this situation, I think like he's like, oh, I'm playing, this is fantastic. And now that he's really into a professional season and he's been in this starting role, he's had to be like, oh, there's so much I still don't understand, which isn't bad, because it makes total sense, because it's pro compared to college, that now he's maybe trying to just process things a little bit quicker, and it's deeper information to process.
Definitely.
So maybe it's not, you know, he's still playing great, which is great. Like, he's not bad, which is amazing.
Yeah.
So I think maybe he's just trying to learn. He's just got a lot to learn, which, you know, I'm glad he's actually trying to.
Yeah. So what do you think would foster his growth, or do you think that there's a lineup or person that he could be paired with that will help him through this sort of slump?
I don't know. That's where it gets kind of weird for me, is because I just really want him, I mean, like you said, take more threes, which I don't know who on the lineup's going to be like, shoot, like anytime you have the ball. Maybe Lou will, but like,
yeah, I mean, and I think the other error is not the right word. I think another issue with him, like being able to take more shots or get more comfortable with that, is that he is the best playmaker we have in the backcourt right
for
now.
For sure. Yeah.
So if he's not actively on the ball, I don't know who is going to be passing to him, so he's taking these threes.
Yeah,
you know?
He's got to run the offense, so it's like,
and I think that's the issue here too, is that like we're seeing a relatively low sample size in terms of those 3-point shots.
Yeah, because he's not going to be Steph, who can run the offense and also just jack up a three and hit it 40% of the time.
Yeah, I just don't think that he's going to be an off the dribble 3-point shooter right now.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, is I don't want him to add some weird new part of his game. It's like, oh, he added a step back three for no reason.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I don't know. I mean, he is like silky and he is so long that I could see him eventually adding to his game, like more shooting off the dribble.
Definitely.
Because he should be able to create space with relative ease.
And his release is like 7 feet off the ground.
Yeah.
Which helps.
But enough of this. Let's get to my freshies.
Fresh it up.
All right. So my freshies is basically, I just want to see more of these guys that we haven't gotten to see a whole lot of yet. But specifically with Lou Will kind of fostering them at the point. So just so
Papa Lou, if you will.
Papa Lou. So that way, if it's not coming offensively, they still have someone to lean on. But specifically, I'm thinking of a lineup of Lou Williams, Sendarius Thornwell, Mike Scott, Lou Williams, Jerome,
nice.
Sendarius, Mike Scott, and then Harrell at the five.
I really like that lineup. They're shooting. There's three shooters.
Yeah.
There's one really good defender.
Yeah. And then
damn, I'm not mad at that lineup.
No. And then depending on how things are going, you could sub out Thornwell for Ty Wall.
But yeah.
keeping I kind of just like the idea of working with the backcourt, especially in games like hopefully tonight's where we have a little bit of room to play around. A backcourt.
That's such a nice way to say we're gonna beat their ass.
A backcourt of like Lou Williams and Jerome. And
that's
then,
awesome.
And then, yeah, having two or one of either Sendarius or Ty Wall. Or, you could have both and then just have
they play good
Harrell
defense together.
Yeah.
Sendarius and Ty Wall's defense is fantastic with Lou scoring and then Mike Scott shooting with Trez down there. That's a really nice lineup.
Yeah, because right now, as far as scorers, obviously, Sendarius and Ty are not quite there yet. And even Jerome.
Ty played great against the Nets, which was cool. He continues to
play really, really well. So I hope to see him get big minutes tonight. I just want to watch all these, specifically these three kind of guard to wingy type guys. You know what I mean? Because they all kind of have bit of size and
tweeners.
A bit of length. Yeah.
Twingers, right? Because they're the wings. All right.
Just led by Lou. I guess that's my freshie. And I think tonight we could, we'll see hopefully a fair amount of that.
That's a super good one too, because I think, like you said, Shea is maybe the best offense, like person around the offense. I think Lou's the second best.
Yeah.
Lou's passing has been so good this year.
Lou's playmaking is definitely underrated, which we've talked about before on this podcast. But I just think, aside from the playmaking, he just gives those guys a little bit more freedom.
That's a fun lineup, too.
Yeah, a little bit more freedom to kind of take shots. And if things aren't falling, he can kind of say, all right, kids, you take a backseat for a little bit.
Give me the dang ball.
Let Papa toss the ball up a bit.
And it's great, too, because I like with Trez at the five in that lineup. Everyone plays well with Trez.
Yeah.
So, it's not like it's Cortad who's like, oh, what? No, I don't know how to do that. It's Trez who's like, yeah, give me the ball. I'm going to bang on these guys.
Yeah.
Nice. That was the freshies. Fantastic lineups on there.
Oh, yeah.
God, I hope I see that tonight. Coming up, we got a pretty quick preview against the game versus the Hawks.
All right. So, Hawks. Are you taking the Hawks tonight?
I'm taking the Hawks 140 to 67. No, this is the first of a back-to-back for us. Avery Bradley is hopeful to play, so who knows, probably won't. Luke Mbamute, no update. As far as I'm concerned, he's sick somewhere?
I don't know what's going on with that. I believe it's still the shoulder, right?
Yeah. I hope it's not something new. So what we need to do to win, we're going to run through this pretty quick. No disrespect to the Hawks. We just had a lot more stuff to talk about. This game feels like another trap game maybe, but that means it feels like perhaps an easy win from where we're sitting right now.
Yeah.
So what we need to do to win, perimeter defense needs to be on point. They're seventh in the league in 3-point attempts. Granted.
Wow.
They are only making enough to rank for 26th in 3-point percentage.
Yeah. They have the worst offensive rating, I believe, of any team in the league.
Yeah. They're really taking the, let's take threes and nothing else.
Yeah.
Really far.
Yeah.
They will die on that hill. So our perimeter defense needs to be really good. I think it will be tonight. I don't think you want to try and take the seventh most amount of threes with Patrick Beverley and Sendarius and Ty Wall being your defenders and stuff like that. I hope our starters come out firing. It'd be nice to not have to come back from a double digit lead against an inferior team.
Yeah, I hope that this isn't a game of catch up. And I don't like to take any opponent too lightly because obviously there's no bad teams in the NBA, but Charles is giving me a look right now.
But this game is winnable.
Yeah, and I don't want us to have to really claw back in. I would like to have our starters hopefully get a little bit of a rest.
I was just about to say, I want Gallo specifically to be able to sit out the fourth quarter of this game.
Yeah.
We got to play the Wizards tomorrow, which is going to be a difficult game, no matter what chaos is happening in Washington, D.C. right now.
Yeah.
But I totally agree. I think we need guys to get some rest. I want to see a bunch of some Jerome. I want to see some Ty. Like, give Thornwell some heavy minutes, you know?
Yeah.
Why not?
I mean, yeah, if he can stay on the floor. Yeah.
So what could go wrong? Trae Young goes for 66, 27, and 9. I still think they only put up 100 points if that happens. This one was kind of a hard one for me to come up with what could go wrong.
Okay.
Maybe Kent Bazemore shoots better than 32% on just above 4 tries a game. So he could go, I don't know, 9 of 14 from beyond the arc.
Kem Bazemore thus far is having like the best offensive year in his career.
Yeah. Which is crazy because he's on fun teams.
Yeah. Yeah. He's been a long time Hawk but I think he's averaging around 15 a game right now. So it's still not anything crazy, but it is picking up. I guess I'm worried about their pace.
I saw that note in here. I didn't even realize that they were.
Yeah, they do lead the league in pace. So I think that turnovers could like really quickly swing the momentum of this game.
For sure.
In a way that like, I guess they have the lowest attendance also at home, but you still got to think that a home, an Atlanta home crowd is like ready for a win, is desperate for a win at this point. I think they've lost the last 7 straight. They're 3-13.
And if they get hot, if you're a high volume 3-point shooting team and you get hot, it can be over really, I don't care who you're playing, it can be over really quick for the other team.
Yeah, definitely.
I like that you say we could maybe take this matchup hastily.
Yeah, I think that could really be a problem. And then I'm just worried about with the back-to-back, somebody getting hurt.
Yeah, that'd be bad. I think with the hastily point, I'm hoping that Nets game, kind of like how it seems like the Thunder game kind of kicked us into gear, hopefully that game against the Nets was like, okay, no one can be slept on.
Yeah, definitely.
Key matchups, I personally am jacked to see Trae Young and Patrick Beverley go at it.
Yeah.
I think Patrick Beverley's going to shut him down, but... We both kind of like poo-pooed Trae Young in the preseason. He's kind of proved us wrong. He's been really good.
Yeah, no, great, good player on a.
But this is
going
to be like his toughest. It's going to be cool to see how he reacts to Patrick Beverley. I think Patrick Beverley's going to win this matchup.
Yeah,
but it's going to be fun to see how Trae Young takes him.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that matchup is definitely like favorable to from my eye at least for Pat, but. I mean, I could be proven wrong.
Yeah, the matchups, this part's hard to find. My next one that I have is Gortat versus Alex Len. Because for some reason, I wanted us to grab Alex Len, and maybe this game will be the perfect example of, see, we didn't need to trade and pay Gortat $12 million this year.
That's fair. I mean, that $12 million, though, for this year might as well be play money.
Yeah, for
you know,
sure.
Like, if we're staying
playing
under,
with this $12
million. Yeah, if we're staying under tax, I mean, I'm just not that mad about it. As if we were to re-sign him to that, I mean, then he'd hear from me.
We got a problem.
I'm excited to see Shea versus Bazemore.
Shea versus Bay.
Bazemore is a really solid two-way player, and like I said, he's having the best scoring year so far in his career.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see how those two guys kind of go at it, because Kent can be a pretty solid defender. Shea definitely has a lot of size on him.
Yeah.
And you know, is probably quicker now at this point in Bazemore's career. Mm-hmm. But you know, it could be. I always like to think that, especially for a rookie, you're learning a little something every time you play somebody.
You hope.
And I think that. Against Kent, there's some aspects, I guess, that he could learn from. Mostly
absolutely.
that two-way kind of dominance.
What's your prediction for the score?
All right. So I think that if I'm going to be irritated if this isn't a game where we hold the Hawks to under 100.
Right.
It shouldn't be that hard. They're average, I think, like 101 points a game.
Right on that cusp.
The lowest in the league. So I'm going to go... I think I'm going to go 98 to 120 Clips.
Dang. Blowing them out of the water.
I would hope so.
I'm going 116, 108 Clips.
Wow.
I think it might be a little testy.
Oh, man.
I think we might have to have another Lou Williams grab the game by the throat situation.
Oh, my gosh. I hope not. I guess we didn't talk about Lou yet either. I hope he gets a little bit of a break.
Yeah, he needs it, especially against, we'll need him against the Wizards for sure. Guys, that's us. That is us.
This is us.
This is us. We are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for tuning in. We're here Monday through Friday. Tomorrow, we're going to have a recap of the Hawks game, previewing the Clippers versus Wizards game, plus what's happening on NBA Twitter on Twitter Tuesdays. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike. Thanks for tuning in, guys.